السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله، الحمد لله، نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه، ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: يا أيها الذين آمنوا توبوا إلى الله توبة نصوحا. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: التائب من الذنب كمن لا ذنب له، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. صدق الله مولانا العظيم، وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Most honorable ulama ikram, beloved brothers and elders, all praises belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our creator, our sustainer, our cherisher, our nourisher. Peace and salutations be upon our noble master, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is barely a month, and it would be the month of Ramadan. Keeping in the prophetic traditions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, already from the time of Rajab, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would make dua: Allahumma barik lana fi Rajab wa Sha'ban wa balighna Ramadan, giving us an indication that there has to be a mental preparation, and also indicating to us the greatness of this auspicious month of Ramadan, that already from the month of Rajab, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was making dua and asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us barakah in these months, so that we may reach the month of Ramadan. Then Rasulullah sallallahu would used to make dua: Allahumma sallimna li Ramadan, that keep us hale and healthy, keep us in good condition for the month of Ramadan. Wa sallimhu lana, and oh Allah, make Ramadan good for us, and accept our ibadat in the month of Ramadan. So my topic for today is a bit of discussion with regards to preparation for Ramadan, but I want to take it from a different angle. Whilst it is good, meritorious and important that we prepare for the month of Ramadan, actually it's that we prepare for today. Because the reality is, as I speak to you now, not myself nor any one of us sitting here has a guarantee that we'll see the khutbah. Forget the salah, we got no guarantee that we will see the khutbah, because that is the reality of life. So whilst we're preparing for Ramadan and we have that mindset it is good, we can just alter it a little bit and say that my preparation is for today, and whatever niyyah and intention I had to do in Ramadan, I intend to do it right now and see the barakah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts into our life. When it comes to preparing to do good, then we have a general perception, which is good, and it should be that way, that how much more I can do. For example, how much of sadaqah I can give, how much of nawafil salah I can read, how I can better and perfect the manner of my faraid, those things that are compulsory upon me, how I can increase in those type of things, which is good, it's meritorious, and it needs to be done. But another very important aspect of our life is how much I can prepare to stop doing certain things that I'm doing. How much effort I can make to stop certain things in my life which ought to be stopped. And in particular, that is with regards to sin. So my discussion for today is for me and myself. And it is my humble request that to those of us that are listening, that I approach this topic for myself. So it's not for me to look at the next person, it's not for me to think about anybody else, but rather an opportunity for me to introspect, an opportunity for me to see what is the condition and the level of my relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and how I can do or stop those things or those actions which are preventing me and my relationship from Allah getting stronger. So we find with regards to sin, ulama teach us and they tell us that there are certain things and certain aspects which become a barrier from a person stopping it. So we're going to discuss a bit of those things today, and then some solutions towards the end. So we find When we look at human life, one of the things that prevents us from growth on a spiritual level and even on a worldly level is procrastination. That we tend to procrastinate, we want to do good, we want to do something, but I'll put it off till later. And a virtue of example, you'll think of, I need to increase my Quran tilawat, for argument's sake. It's okay, it's Shaban now, I'll wait, 15th of Shaban will come, then I'll see. Come the 15th of Shaban, you'll say, okay, just now is Ramadan, I don't want to do too much, I'll wait. Ramadan starts, and then you say, okay, Ramadan just started now, let's take it a bit easy for the first few days. And then before you know it, it's the 10 days already up, and then you say, okay, I'll wait till the last 10 days, I'll burn the midnight oil, and then the last 10 nights come, and eventually the month of Ramadan passes by, and we're still sitting and standing on the same spot. Procrastination is a killer in terms of our growth, be it spiritual or be it for our worldly gain. There's an incident which I wish to discuss with you from the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we know that inshallah tonight there would be the seerah program that will be taking place in this masjid. Seerah plays a very important role in our life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran Kareem says to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَكُلَّا نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ مِنْ أَنْبَاءِ الرُّسُلِ مَا نُثَبِّتُ بِهِ فُؤَادَكَ. Allah Ta'ala addresses Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, saying sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that we have revealed to you the different incidents of Anbiya alayhi salatu wa sallam in the Quran to strengthen your heart, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Nabi Sassam's heart was the strongest heart that Allah ever created. The greatest heart that Allah ever created was the heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And if there was benefit in the lives of Anbiya for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, can you well imagine when we introduce ourselves to the life of Anbiya and then the life of the greatest of all Anbiya, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what will that do to our life? So it's important for us to acquaint ourselves with the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the program will be taking place tonight. Let us try and attend and encourage others to attend as well. There's a beautiful incident pertaining to the harms of procrastination. Ulama have mentioned this, and there's many incidents like it, but they've deduced so much from this one incident, and we can resonate with it and we can take great lesson from it. There was a tribe by the name of the Banu Abs tribe, and the narrator of this hadith, he mentions that it was the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the season of Hajj. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, now we're speaking pre-hijrah, before the hijrat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the season of Hajj, Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam would go to the different tribes and he would invite them towards Islam. So this person says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to us, he invited us to Islam, but unfortunately, we didn't take the message, we didn't take heed, and it was a great loss to us. He says, but there was one person, this person's name was a young person at the time, he was a young lad, his name was Maysara bin Masruq. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to us, and he started reading Quran, reading the verses of Quran, inviting us towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this Maysara took some interest. And his interest gave some hope to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now you have to appreciate this and the effort of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And today we are sitting here and we are able to recite the kalima and we are able to take enjoyment from the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala purely on the sacrifices of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions. Imagine the heat of the desert. You go with enthusiasm. Just think about it for a moment. You have so much of enthusiasm. And it was the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he would go to these tribes generally. Then he would know that this is our family, or we related to these people or this tribe. There's a link, there's a connection somewhere along the line. So when that happens generally to you, imagine you're going to close a deal. You have some stock and you want to sell it. And somebody tells you, okay, so and so, we some family and some connection. And then you go there with all that enthusiasm and you go there with all that hope that inshallah this man is going to take, and the door is slammed at your face. What does it? You see, you should have rather given me a slap. You should have rather given me a claw. That would have been better. But the slamming the door on my face is like an insult. So imagine Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the heat of the desert. He would go with so much of enthusiasm. He would go and meet these people. He would go and listen to them. And he would shun him away. This narrator says that actually we shun the Prophet ﷺ away. We turned him away and we like said harsh words to him and we told him, carry on, we don't want to hear. But this young person took some interest. And when he took some interest, he went back to his people and he said to them, he said, listen, from the words of this man, I sense that this man's, his religion is going to be something very, very big. And I can see that it's going to take, so to say, just to paraphrase it or put it into our understanding on how we will speak, it's going to take the world by storm. Everybody's going to believe in him. I think we should be the first to accept him. I think we shouldn't delay in this matter. So then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam goes back to him and then he says to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, listen, I have the desire, but I'm a young person and my own people, they're shunning me. They're saying, listen, they're not interested. They don't want to hear anything. So they leave. They leave Makkah. When they leave Makkah, this young man again says to his people, he says, listen, we are passing by Fidak. Fidak is a town where there's a lot of Jewish scholars. Let's go to them. Let's take their opinion. Let's ask them, what should we do? The man came to us, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and he presented such a beautiful religion to us. He presented things so nice, and we turned him away. So then eventually the elders, they gave in. They said, okay, fine, let's go. So they go to the scholars of Fidak. When they come to the scholars of Fidak, the scholars of Fidak open their books, whether it was the Torah or whatever it is, they open their religious books. And then they start to give a description. And they describe the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to detail. They describe the camel and they say that he would be a man who would be riding the camel. They say that he would be a person who would suffice on a little. They describe the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's, you know, his height, that he's neither too tall nor is he too short. He's of average height. They describe, the books are now describing the blessed and the beautiful hair of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's not too curly, nor is it very straight. It's describing the blessed face of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the beauty of the eyes of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then these scholars say to these people, if this description matches the man that you people are talking about, then it's our advice to you all, go back and accept him. Because the only reason why we won't accept him is, as the words come in the narration, that we have jealousy for him. So on account of our jealousy for him, we won't accept him. But if he fits this description, then go back. This is the man that you should believe in. So this Maysara says, when I said to them, okay, let's go back, they turned me down again. They said, okay, leave it, we'll go next year. And then it so happened, look at this procrastination from where to where, from where to where. When the next year comes, and he says, now we intended to go, the leaders of the area, they sort of put a ban, a travel ban. No one is allowed to travel. No one is allowed to leave the city. He said, and in time passed, eventually in the final Hajj of Rasulullah. Now can you imagine, this was probably in the 11th or the 12th year of prophethood, and then you get the entire 10 year of the Medina period, and then the Rasulullah meets this person, and it is in the Hajj of Rasulullah, this young man, 10 years later, he comes up to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he has a conversation with Nabi alayhi salatu wasallam. He says, O Rasul of Allah, do you remember me? So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, yes, most definitely I remember you. You are so and so and you are from this particular tribe. So he says, yes, that is me. And then he puts a question to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, O Nabi of Allah, we were a group of few people on that day, on that occasion. And when you spoke to us, I was the only one that accepted, I was the only one that wanted to embrace your religion. What is the condition of all those people today? Today I'm here, I've accepted. The Prophet said to him that it is the way and the system of Allah that whoever passes away in the condition that he doesn't have iman, his destiny will be Jahannam. So the end result was of procrastination, that complete loss, total loss. And the scholars tell us, when we procrastinate and we delay, when the opportunity is there to do good and we don't do it, it has an effect on our dunya and our akhirah. And scholars have written this as well, that when Allah Ta'ala gives a man, gives a person an opportunity to do some sort of good, and on account of his own laziness, or on account of his own procrastination, for whatever reason it may be, he doesn't do it. Allah's system is such that a time comes in his life when he wants to do it. And there will be factors and barriers that will prevent him from doing it. Like we see here, when these people wanted to go, then their own people put a ban and said, no, nobody can travel. So that's the first thing, procrastination. These are barriers which stops us and stops a person from abandoning sin. So sometimes when it comes to sin, when it comes to breaking the command of Allah, and as I said, myself firstly, the one that is speaking, and every one of us, we can do introspection, and each person will know what is it in his life, what is that one or two or three or few things in his life that he knows he shouldn't be doing. And it's not about, especially when the month of Ramadan comes, then sometimes we generally put it on pause. It's not about putting it on pause, it's about abandoning it. So few things that prevent us from abandoning it. Sometimes we tend to make excuses. What are the excuses that we will make? It's all different types, just to mention a few. We will say, no, it's a small thing, man. Don't look at it, it's a small thing. Sahaba Ikram said sometimes that to the mafhum of the narration, you people will do things which are so big. But in our time, if it was something as small as a hair, like something so insignificant, and we had to commit that, we would have regarded it as a major crime. So there's no something as small and something as trivial. Sin is a sin. Don't regard a sin as small, because as the Arabic saying goes, Inna minal jibali hasa, that a mountain once upon a time was a pebble. And it was a pebble and a pebble and another pebble, which eventually became a mountain. So that's one. The second excuse that we still would tend to make, and sometimes we hear, or we would make our own selves, and we would say, everybody is doing it. Everybody is doing something, doesn't make it right. Right is right and wrong is wrong. Or sometimes a person would say, I want to stop the sin, but it's very, very hard. Quran tells us, لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not put anything on any soul that is difficult, something that you cannot manage. Difficult, yes, not impossible. Nothing is impossible if you really want to do it. If you determine to do something, and you put your mind to it, and you work hard at it, you can do it. And probably one of the most dangerous excuses the ulama tell us is, that a person will say, I'm doing this sin, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very forgiving. Allah ta'ala is ghafoor rahim. And that actually the hadith of Rasulullah says that such an attitude is a foolish attitude. That a person, al-kayyis, the one who's intelligent, he suppresses himself and he prepares for what is to come after that. Wal-ajizan, a foolish person, is a person who says, no, don't worry, I'll do what I want to do, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is forgiving. Another thing that the mufassirun, the people of tafsir have written under certain ayat of Quran, is that yes, most definitely, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very forgiving. And we all should have hope in Allah's forgiving nature and in Allah's mercy. However, we should adopt this approach, that am I not shy? If Allah is so forgiving, how then do I still continue to sin? How then do I still continue to... Allah's quality of forgiveness is there. How can I not have the quality of being shy? How can I not have that quality of, not wanting to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And excuses are many, but every one of us has to introspect, and the time comes where we say, enough of the excuses. I know what it is in my life, and these are certain things that I need to stop today, not even tomorrow, not even after the salah, but now whilst we're sitting. In my heart, I make a pact with Allah. Allah, you know and I know. It's only between you and me. But Allah, make me an intention. And I'm going to come to that point shortly towards the end of my talk. The power of just a small intention. I'll just mention one more thing. And then we'll sort of come towards the conclusion of the talk. Ulama say that certain things we do are actually worse than the actual sin. Certain things we tend to do are actually worse than the actual sin. One is that we would trivialize a sin. As I said, we say, it's something small. No, should never trivialize a sin, irrespective of how small it is. We rather make immediate tawbah. The second thing is that we sin so much that we allow that sin to become a habit in our life. That now we become desensitized to it. We don't think anything wrong of it. Example, but if you take ghibat, for example, backbiting, that if somebody has to stop us, you backbite. No, I'm not bad. I'm just saying. I'm just saying. I'm not talking bad. I'm just saying. So when it's pointed out to us also at that time, because we're so much in it, we're so desensitized to it, that we, no, where you acting like a mufti now? You acting like one big molana, one big hazrat, you want to tell us? Don't tell. So you become so desensitized to sin, that when somebody points it out to you also, then you'll go on the defense, and you'll go on the point of, instead of saying, yes, you're correct, I should stop her. You say, no, who are you to tell? Are you now acting so, when you did it? No, that's not the attitude. The third thing is, and this is, Allah protect us from it, that the person becomes happy over his sin. Committed a sin, and he becomes happy, he becomes pleased with the sin that he did. Wallah, if a man committed sin, he did a guna, and there's a remorse, that remorse is a form of tawbah. That regret in his heart that, Allah, I shouldn't have. Allah, why did I? That is a form of tawbah. And the last point that the ulama say, this is probably the worst position that a person can ever be in. May Allah protect every one of us. But it's something to really think about and consider, because it's become so rife in Muslim society that a man commits a sin and then he boasts about that sin. He commits the sin, and how does he boast about it? One is he tells everybody. But today, on his social media, whether it is TikTok or whether it is Instagram or whether it is Facebook or whatever you want to call it, post it out there, and the more hits he gets and the more views he gets and the more that people are seeing this sin of his, it pleases him even more and it makes him even more. These are serious things, my respected friends. And as I said, this is for me to introspect myself. There was a discussion that took place between Umar radiallahu ta'ala and Ahnaf bin Qais. So Umar asked Ahnaf bin Qais radiallahu ta'ala, and Umar asked him, that tell me, Ahnaf, who you'll regard as a jahil, who you'll regard as an ignorant person. So he said, an ignorant man is that person who sacrifices his akhirah to earn this dunya. An ignorant man is that man who sacrifices his akhirah to earn this dunya. I mean, to earn a few rands and cents, he won't care what it is, or to earn some popularity, he won't care who he defames, in the, whatever it is. Then Umar Anu said to him, let me tell you who's an ajhal. You get jahil, ignorant, and then you get ajhal, even more ignorant, the height of ignorance. He said, is a man who sacrifices his akhirah for someone else's dunya. Let that sink in. A man who sacrifices his akhirah for someone else's dunya. I need to please my wife, I need to please my children, I need to please my friends, so I'll break Allah's command along the way. As long as they are happy, and they are fanning my ego, and they are telling me how good I did, it's fine. Allah can be upset, Allah can be unhappy, it doesn't make a difference. So Umar Anu said to him, that a ajhal, the height of ignorance, is the man who sacrifices his akhirah for someone else's dunya. That superficial, you see, the superficial enjoyment. Sin creates superficial enjoyment, temporary, just for a little while, that you feel, like somebody said it so nicely, it's like a credit card. Enjoy now, pay later. Enjoy it now, and you'll see later, you'll sort out the debt later on. So the effect of sin is that it eventually creates an emptiness, and it creates a feeling of anxiety and depression within the heart of a person, because there's no enjoyment in it. True enjoyment is in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a way out, and this is how I will end today's discussion, to give myself and every one of us hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy. It's important and imperative that we introspect now, not tomorrow, not the next day. We don't wait for Sha'ban 15th, we don't wait for Ramadan, but today, right now, and we talk to Allah, even if whilst we're sitting here in our heart. Two things, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said one, and Allah said one, which gives us immense hope. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ التَّوَّابِينَ. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ التَّوَّابِينَ. Allah loves those who make tawbah. Say astaghfirullah while we sit here, become the beloved of Allah. Allah said in the Quran that Allah loves the one who makes tawbah. And what did Rasulullah say? He said, every son of Adam is a sinner. Every single son of Adam is a sinner. وَخَيْرُ الْخَطَّائِينَ خَيْرُ The best, the best of the sons of Adam who sinnahu at-tawwabin, those who make tawbah, those who turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'll end on this discussion very, very quickly. In the hadith of Muslim Sharif, when that person killed 99 people, and he came and he said to one person, I killed 99, is there any way out for me? He said, no way out for you, you killed 99. Comes to another person, so he kills that man as well. He said, if I mean 99, make it 100 and do the job, finish, why wait? So he comes to another person, he said, I killed 100, any way out? He said, yes, there is a way out for you, go to such and such place. Authentic narration. So here he didn't procrastinate. He just had the intention to go to such and such place. Go to such and such place, you'll find the people worshipping Allah. Go there with them, worship Allah. En route, he passes away. Allah's system, the angels of reward and the angels of punishment come, an argument between the two. This man here killed 100 people. He was destined for Jahannam. They say, no. He had the intention. He hadn't yet made tawbah. He had the intention. He had the niyyah to go and join those people who were worshipping Allah so that he could make tawbah. He is destined for Jannah. Allah sent the third angel, resolved the dispute. He says, let's measure the distance from where he created the sin to where he is going, and from where he is to the places of where his tawbah is. Wherever he is closer, that would be his destination. And this is the point I want to mention to you, that the land is measured. The land is measured, and he was closer to the place of tawbah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave him. But one narration says, and this is the mercy of Allah, and we leave today's Jumu'ah focusing on Allah's mercy. The narration says that Allah instructed the earth, and Allah said to the earth, O earth, become shorter for my servant, because my servant had the niyyah and the intention to make tawbah. He had the niyyah and the intention to turn to me. So, O earth, you become closer and you become shorter. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all tawfiq.